Let's say the Bible is turned to Matthew chapter 19, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12, and I'll reference, please stand as it's ordered. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he departed from Galilee and went to the region of Judea across the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees approached him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife on any grounds?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female? He also said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked him, "did Moses command us to give divorce papers and to send her away?" He told them, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of the hardness of your hearts, but it was not like that from the beginning. I tell you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If the relationship of a man and his wife is like this, it's better not to marry." He responded, "Not everyone can accept this, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who have been born that way from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who were made by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves that way because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who is able to accept it should accept it." Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses, verses 21 to 35 in chapter 18, and we had just finished previously last Wednesday Jesus' teaching on church discipline and remembering the purpose of church discipline is to restore the fallen brother. And then Peter approaches Jesus thinking that he's going to get an attaboy. "Good job, Peter. Good answer." And Peter says, "How many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times?" Because the rabbis had said two times was the limit. And Peter was going to go, "Yeah, Jesus was going to say, good job, you've gone not only double, but above that." And Jesus said, "Not seven times, but 70 times seven." Now, Jesus is not saying you should forgive somebody 490 times, but on that 491st time, they're in trouble. No. Jesus is saying forgiveness should be without limit, just as his forgiveness of us is without limit. And then Jesus gave a parable to explain about forgiveness. He said there was a king who decided to settle accounts with all his servants. And that king called in a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. Now a talent is 6,000 days' wages. And so 10,000 talents would be 60,000 days' wages. That would be 60 million days' wages. That would be 169,389 years of wages. An impossible amount to repay. And the servant was told by the master, "You repay your debt." He said, "Don't have it," so he was going to be thrown in prison. The servant begged the master, "Have mercy on me. I'll pay you back." And it said, the king had compassion and forgave his debt. Well, that servant that had just been forgiven 169,000 years of wages that he owed, went to a servant that owed him 100 days wages, just 100, not even half a year. And he said, pay me. The other servant said the same thing that the one that had been forgiven had said. Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back. But the one that had been forgiven the huge amount had the other servant that only owed him a small amount thrown into prison. The other servants went and told the king what had happened. And the king had that servant brought before him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And his master, and because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything. That was over. And our final verse, verse 35, said, so also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. Jesus is telling us about how much we have been forgiven by our Heavenly Father. We need to forgive our brothers. We've been forgiven a debt that would send us to hell for all eternity. And we get mad and unforgiving of someone that says something that we didn't like the tone of voice, or that made a choice that we didn't agree with, or that didn't invite us to their party, or didn't come to the party they were invited to. Many things like this. We hold grudges. We hold bitterness. We are not forgiving. But Jesus says, we need to be forgiven. Forgiving as we were forgiven. And then we come to the passage today. Chapter 19 starts with a teaching on divorce. It says in verse 3, some Pharisees approached him to test him. Well, we know that they weren't really looking for an answer just with that introduction. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife on any grounds? Now, let me tell you where Jesus is at this time. He's in the area that's under control of the Herod that had executed John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer had been thrown in prison because that Herod had caused his brother's wife to divorce his brother, and that he divorced his wife and he married his brother's wife, and John the Baptizer said, it's not lawful for you to do that. And John the Baptizer eventually lost his head because of King Herod's actions relating to divorce. And the Pharisees are probably saying, yeah, if we get Jesus to say it's wrong to divorce, Herod's going to weigh in on this and do something with Jesus. Well, the question that was asked by the Pharisees was answered by Jesus, not with a simple yes or no, but with, have you read the Bible? Have you read the book of Genesis? Because he quotes from Genesis. Says, he who created them in the beginning made them male and female. And he also said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's quoting from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and Genesis 2:24. It's also repeated in Genesis 5:2. And then he says, they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And that word for joined together is sort of like if you've ever got super glue on your hand, it glues your fingers together pretty good. And you're just going to cause injury if you just try to pull it apart. Jesus is telling the Pharisees who were teaching that divorce is okay for any reason. that's not what God's plan was originally. Because the Pharisees taught that you could divorce your wife for any reason. If she let her hair down in public, divorce. She burns her toast, divorce. She says something you don't like, divorce. Well, the Pharisees, practiced frequent divorces and remarriages because they said, any reason is okay. But Jesus is confronting their popular belief. And then the Pharisees are not satisfied with Jesus giving them an answer from creation and God's initial plan. But in verse 7, it says, why then, they asked, did Moses command us to give divorce papers and to send her away? Now, they didn't understand Genesis, thought it didn't apply, and then they misinterpreted this passage here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24 for a minute. And this is the passage that they're talking about. And the Pharisees are saying, Moses commanded us to divorce our wives. Deuteronomy chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. If a man marries a woman, but she becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, he may write her a divorce certificate, hand it to her, and send her away from his house. If after leaving his house she goes and becomes another man's wife, the second man hates her, writes her a divorce certificate, hands it to her, and sends her away from his house, or he dies, the first husband who sent her away may not marry her again after she has been defiled, because that would be detestable to the Lord. You must not bring guilt on the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. When a man takes a bride, he must not go out with the army or be liable for any duty. He is free to stay at home for 1 year so that he can bring joy to the wife he has married. This passage, specifically verses 1 through 4, is a prohibition against remarriage to a wife you divorced that had married someone else. But the Pharisees said, this is a command to divorce our wives. Well, the scripture in Deuteronomy 24 says you may divorce your wife if you find something indecent in her. That indecency relates to impurity. She claimed to be pure, but she wasn't. Well, Jesus says in verse 8 of Matthew 19, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of the hardness of your hearts, but it was not like this from the beginning. So he says, Moses permitted it because y'all are hard of hearts, and the people at the time of Moses were hard in their heart. But it was not that way from the beginning. And Jesus is referring back to Genesis. That's not God's original plan. It was allowed, but it was not God's original plan. Verse 9, I tell you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And some of your Bibles will have in there, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now, that's not in the best manuscripts, but it is in Matthew 5:32. So it is Jesus' words, just not here in the best, oldest manuscripts. So let's look for a moment at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And beginning of verse 10. To the married, I give this command, not I but the Lord. A wife is not to leave her husband, but if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But I, not the Lord, say to the rest. Now, the first part says, I'm quoting what Jesus said. And he's talking about a situation among two believers, what we just read in Matthew 19. Now, in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is talking about a situation that Jesus did not address. But I, not the Lord, that's not saying he's giving his opinion, he's just dealing with a situation that Jesus didn't address. If any brother has an unbelieving wife, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. So a believer married to a non-believer, no divorce. Also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he is willing to live with her, he must not divorce her husband. So the believer is married to a non-believer that is willing to stay with a believing spouse, that the believer should not seek a divorce. In verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is made holy by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. A brother or sister is not bound in such cases. God has called you to live in peace. Why? For all you know, you might save your husband. Husband, for all you know, you might save your wife. Unbeliever married to a believer. If the unbeliever is willing to stay, then the believer doesn't seek a divorce. But if the unbeliever wants to leave, the believer is not bound to keep that marriage. They can get a divorce. Now, Jesus was talking about the situation of two believers. No divorce except for the cause of adultery. Now, what about a believer married to someone that claims to be a believer, but is not doing what they should, and they want to leave? That takes us back to our passage that we were reading about church discipline. Go one-on-one, take two or three others, then go before the church. If there's no repentance, you treat the person as a Gentile or a tax collector. They have shown by their lack of repentance they're not a Christian. And that moves the category from a believer married to another believer to a believer married to an unbeliever. And the divorce is free, is allowed to go on. Now, a long time in our history in the United States and churches, divorce was always the unforgivable sin. Well, let me show you something interesting. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Page 896. Starting in the book, verse 6. Jeremiah 3, verse 6. In the days of King Josiah, the Lord asked me, have you seen what unfaithful Israel has done? She has ascended every high hill and gone under every green tree to prostitute herself there. I thought, after she has done all these things, she will return to me. But she didn't return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. I observed that it was because unfaithful Israel had committed adultery that I had sent her away and had given her a certificate of divorce. Now, who gave the certificate of divorce here? God. God divorced Israel. So, a lot of people that say divorced people aren't welcome in the church, but God's not welcome. Because he divorced unfaithful Israel because they had worshiped other gods. Now, Jesus, back in our passage, is explaining that divorce should not be easy and should not be common, but should be very rare and very difficult. The disciples understand what Jesus said. Back to Matthew 19, look at what he said in verse 10. His disciples said to him, "If the relationship of a man and his wife is like this, it's better not to marry." So the disciples say, you know, if we get married and we can't divorce our wife for any reason, we're stuck with her, it's better not to get married. And then Jesus said, it's not for everyone. Everyone does not have that ability. Some people have the ability not to get married, and others don't. Through passing scripture, and somebody had it put on their wedding cake, it is better to marry than to burn. But the passage is, it's better to marry than to burn with lust. And so, marriage is okay. Being single is okay. If you're not following God's command, you're not okay. Now, can a believer get remarried? Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians 7. And verse 15. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. A brother or sister is not bound in such cases. God has called you to live in peace. And then verse 39. A wife is bound as long as her husband is living. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to anyone she wants, only the Lord. So it's saying, you can get remarried, and the being bound that's broken by divorce, and being bound that is broken by death is the same. A divorced person can be remarried in God's plan. Too often, we're like the Pharisees and don't go to what God says about an issue. It's easy to just say no. Baptists have a reputation for being the no people. No drinking, no smoking, no dancing, no playing cards. You know, those things they have. Just like the Pharisees, Baptists have historically had, and a list of no's. It's not what God says. But God has called us to live in peace. And he says, one problem with divorce is the unbeliever, if he leaves, doesn't get that daily reminder of what a godly Christian spouse can impart. Well, is divorce an unforgivable sin? There is no unforgivable sin. The only thing that's unforgivable is not asking for forgiveness before you die. God can forgive all sins. But if we die without seeking God's forgiveness, without repenting of our sin, then we're facing a holy God with no hope. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I pray that we will teach your word, your truth correctly. That we will not ostracize people that you have given forgiveness to. That we will seek to honor you with every part of our lives. And let us go and share with others your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.